You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, May the 8th, and final four day today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I also want to tell you about the Built Boost as well. I'm going to tell you all about that a little bit later today. But go to BuiltBar.com. Be sure to use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Today I had a little bit of a revelation, so I've got a quick hot take for you guys to open up the show. But most of the show is up for the most influential Pistons of all time bracket, and we got Doc Joe Brown in the house to help us out and whittle down four of the biggest names and best personalities and best Pistons of all time. We're going to whittle it down until there were two at the very end today. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. So you know what that means. Next week will be the finals of the most influential Pistons of all time bracket, and we will see who we can conjure up to help us break that tie and see who becomes the proud winner of the most influential Piston of all time bracket. Of course, The Last Dance, episodes 7 and 8 coming up this weekend, I believe, if my math is correct. Yeah, 7 and 8 and then 9 and 10. And that will do it there. But my revelation today as I was reading some, actually I was on The Athletic reading the NBA articles, a couple from James today, but had the drop-down menu where they had all the logos of the teams. And obviously was looking for the Pistons drop down there with the NBA teams there. And man, what a dated logo that the Pistons have. It's unbelievable. And you know me. If you know me, you listen to this show, you know I'm as traditionalist as they come. I'm as old dude as they come. I love the Pistons court. I love the home court colors and the color scheme of the court. Always have, always will. I also do very much like the jerseys. I like the color combination, the red, white, and blue. I'm cool with some third design jerseys, some alternates, that's fine too. I do think they overdo it on the Nike City jerseys when they bring them in. They just play so many games with those on, including playoff games a couple years ago for the Pistons. But I just, and I know that they've changed it quite a bit and went back to it because of some of the backlash for it, but the circle basketball Detroit Pistons, it's just so dated. Even I think that's lame. Even I think that's for old people. Let's do better than that. Let's get at least a better logo. Keep the color scheme. Keep pretty much do bring the teals back as a city jersey or alternate whenever they can as quickly as possible. Get that done and have the court do the old school retro teal court for some of those games as well. But by and large, keep the whole color scheme. But give me something else for the logo of the Detroit Pistons. That's my hot take for the day. Let me know what you think about that. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. But anyway, we got Doc Joe Brown coming up. We'll get right to it. We went long, as you knew we would. And that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, we've told you all about Built Bar, and we'll continue to tell you all about Built Bar. But today I want to talk a little bit about Built Boost. It's what that 2:30 feeling that you hear about. I've got that 2:30 feeling just about 2:30 every day. And that's when I reach for my daily helping of Built Boost. It's a mix-in drink, a drink supplement. It's just the powder that you get in there. You get the 16 ounces water, slip it in there. I got the mango tangerine today. Have not done the strawberry vanilla yet, but I'm excited to try that. Did the pina colada the other day. No alcohol in there, as far as you know. Black cherry lemonade as well, and I've done the pineapple strawberry. Looking forward to the fruit punch, keeping the fruit punch for last. That's my thing. Go get them on the website at BuiltBar.com, $29.95. And, of course, you know all about the Built Bars. I'm going to continue to tell you all about those, too. 16 amazing flavors. Bars covered in 100% chocolate. I've been starting my day with these every single day, and it's been so good that I got to go ahead and order some more with my own MONEY, not just the free samples that I was given. So I'm excited to contribute to the cause, just like you guys are, too. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. These are dude bars. These aren't those chick bars. Loser maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Chicks can enjoy them too as well. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. I'm talking about under 5 grams of sugar in each of these bars. Net carbs, about 5-3 certain flavors. So you're well under those 20 numbers that you want to keep under if you're on keto. Great flavors. Mint brownie is sitting there just staring at me. I cannot wait to try the mint brownie. Peanut butter brownie as well. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off. That's BuiltBar.com. Tell them, well, just put the promo code in. But if you talk to someone, tell them Matt Shook from Locked On Pistons sent you aboard.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Doc Joe Brown, just like we were yesterday. Have you had a good 24 hours since we've taped that that last one?
Yes, Matt, I definitely have, since you placed it like that. I feel like we're on a TV show on Christmas, and we have to act like it's Christmas morning, but it's really like the day after Halloween or something.
Yeah, we're making Doc Joe Brown do double time for us today. And if you've been listening the last several weeks, at the end of the week, we close it out with the most influential Pistons of all time bracket. We've had a special guest on each week, and no one better to take us from the final four to the final two than one of our favorites, Doc Joe Brown. Doc, tell us about the podcast first before we get started, so folks can hear where else they can hear you.
Sure. The podcast is the podcast Twitter handle is at Pro Pistons. Please be sure to follow us. We tweet during all the major wrestling and Pistons and basketball nights, and sometimes we're on double duty, and I even have my wife helping me out on the PC while I'm on the phone. And the show is Pro Wrestling Talk for the Pistons fan. Last 7 days of the month, we have our growing in popularity Ask the Doc series, and then through the month, we'll drop a couple episodes of me and my friends. I titled it OG Talk for the Pistons fan and Pro Wrestling Pistons fan. And it's just for those that are 35 and over, Matt. So you can come on the show and we just kind of talk about whatever comes to mind regarding Pistons and wrestling. The next episode is being edited now, and it features Brent Petway, formerly of the University of Michigan, Air Georgia. He has some really great basketball stories. It's going to be our first part two. We got the first part, we're talking about basketball, and then the second part, we're talking about how he's traveled the world and found this different become a fan of different wrestling promotions.
And speaking of nice guests, while it's fresh in my mind, Nolan Bianchi of Locked On Red Wings says they got Darren McCarty for next week, Monday and Tuesday's show. So
be sure to tune into that as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, Joe, I trust that you've maybe been following the bracket a little bit for us. Do you have, before we get into the, you know, it's the four number one seeds who made the final four, maybe kind of predictably, I guess, but did we make any big mistakes? Is there something that stands out to you? Of course, we had some upsets early on. It got a little bit more vanilla as time went on, but did we screw up anywhere? Or did we miss something? Is there something that stands out to you that we kind of screwed up on a little bit?
No, first of all, the young man that you had on from New Orleans, mm-hmm. to kind of
RC. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hats off to him. He did a phenomenal job.
He was great.
Because it's hard to put these type of things together, even, you know, mm-hmm. when you're talking about 64. I just wish the Dancing Usher would have been on there. I think I text you that like right after, like, how could we not? Just because this decade has been bad,
yeah,
really been the only bright spot. And that guy comes every day to work, and you would swear the Pistons were like some type of championship team.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to meet him, he's always like, I've taken kids from our church. He's mm-hmm. always willing to take pictures, always, you know, nice. Like, I'm like, man, don't you got to go home? He's like, oh, you know, I'll hang out here some more and chat with people. So I just think he deserved a nod. If maybe he would have been in a play-in game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, in Dayton, Ohio. Shannon goes down there. But, yeah, great guy. And like you said, and we're, I know we're kind of joking around a little bit, but you could make a case that he deserved to be on the most influential because, like you said, not only – not tongue-in-cheek at all. He does a great job with the entertainment, and he's a real asset for them. And we've, you know, you and I, guys that have been at dozens of games over these last few years, and you even longer than I have as a season ticket holder at the Palace too, that, you know, we've seen him so many times, but it doesn't get old. It is fun to watch him do his thing every time, and it's different every time, and it's really good.
Yeah. So I think he's just Shannon. That's his name. Yeah,
yeah, really
cool guy. And then he went through some hard times and still showed up from work. You know, So I really like the guy. But no, other than that, this is the Final Four. This is it right here. This is if we were having a Royal Rumble, this would be and who would we see go to main event to WrestleMania and take on the Lakers and,
yeah,
and bring the flag home for the home team.
After the Undertaker tosses out like 10 of the scrubs.
Yeah.
These are the kind of the four guys that are left. And they're all, you know, championship guys. They're all icons. They're all two of them are Hall of Famers. Two of them are not Hall of Famers. So maybe we got to remedy that over these next few years. And what better way to have it than be two matchups of going to work versus the Bad Boys and one guy who kind of bridges both of the eras. But the number one seeds, starting first of all with Joe Dumars taking on Chauncey Billups, kind of the leader of the going to work team from the point guard position, against the guy who put the going to work team together and also was a finals MVP for the Pistons, won two championships with the Bad Boys, several all-star appearances, a world championship gold medal as well. What are the first and you know, it's got to be honest, coming in, I set the lines. I'm writing about sports gambling all the time now. I set Joe and Isaiah Thomas as favorites to go to the finals. So Joe's kind of got the unofficial duty of playing a little devil's advocate for us here. But what do you think? What are your first kind of impressions when thinking about Chauncey and Joe?
Yeah, and Matt is most influential Piston, right?
Yep, that's right.
So that's what I thought about, because we got Chauncey. I can speak about Chauncey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can kind of do both. Yeah.
He is in this era where you can be influential. It's hard to be influential in the 80s, because think about it, when the season was over, we didn't know where these guys were. That's why there's so many 30 for 30 documentaries out about what people did. But Chauncey lived in an era where he could be influential. Last time I was on your show, we talked about the Adidas commercial. We talked about his jersey being like retired, and like people remember his jersey being retired. Like, I don't really remember like Isaiah Thomas ceremony night or anything.
Right.
Bad Boys when they got raised to the rafters, because they didn't have all these fireworks, the showmanship and things like that. So I think Chauncey for right now, the Twitter, and still relevant, still takes some hot takes. We saw him speaking to Carmelo about Carmelo Anthony, not taking things serious. And he lit up the newswire for a little bit that time period, still balling with the big three. And he's associated with the Pistons, no matter how many teams he's played for, which has been a lot. I mean, he started off in Boston, and if I ever met him, I would always clown him about that lightning bolt part going up the middle of his head. But as of today, he's still relevant. He still reps for the team. And as we saw in the big three, he's still playing. So he's still fresh in your mind as like not an old guy, but you're like, okay, Chauncey can still ball. We saw him the other week playing horse. So that would be my like argument for Chauncey, is that he came in the right time where social media, the internet, he speaks well, he's still on TV every day. I think he's on ESPN. And then he's still active, where you kind of have respect. Like, I wouldn't want to see this guy at a YMCA game. He probably 10-0 us. And where with the older guys, you're like, I could probably take him. He's probably got a bad bag, probably out of shape and things like that. So that's kind of my argument for Chauncey. Yeah. Even though he's probably fighting an uphill battle.
Well, let me kind of pile on for Chauncey a little bit here. Like, you talked about a lot of the post-career stuff. Also, a businessman here in town, owns the salon in Southfield, opened that up, the first location of a chain of salons that he has going. He's got the Wendy's in a bunch of Wendy's in the St. Louis area as well.
Yeah.
And does some gyms as well, as I'm reading. I didn't realize that, but he's kind of a franchisee, and some of that being here in the Metro Detroit area, and always talking, and when he's on, you know, ESPN, the halftime shows and stuff, he's always talking good about the Detroit Pistons, even if they're going through lean times. So, and how about this? I came up with this little theory. Chauncey gets traded, and obviously things kind of go downhill with the Iverson trade to Denver with Chauncey, and that was made, obviously, by Joe Dumars. So, and you could kind of play that on both sides and say that, well, Joe was influential in his bad move by trading Chauncey. But, you know, maybe Joe, if Joe had done his job a little bit better, starting with the Darko pick in 2003, maybe Chauncey, the player, is able to develop a resume that's good enough to beat Joe's playing career. So
I think Joe knew we were going to be doing this bracket. So he's like, you know, let me get rid of this guy because I want to win this whole
thing.
Too
good. Yeah, he's getting too good.
But and then another thing that I just want to mention, I mean, it's clear that he's fighting an uphill battle against a guy who went from the red, white, and blue to the teal to who basically brought the red, white, and blue back. Right. So, but Chauncey is definitely, we owe him so much because this decade has been so rough on us, really, really rough. And if it wasn't for him, the Pistons would be basically – not even mentioned. They would just be these rough guys from the 80s that beat up Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. So we really owe a lot to him for keeping us relevant in current day.
And I wonder if there is a world that exists that Chauncey Billups is back in Detroit at some point running the show, right? Because there was always the rumors that he would come back. Maybe when Stan Van Gundy was kind of feeling the heat a little bit, that Chauncey would come in and run the team. I think Mark Stein had reports that he was interested in possibly doing that. But then by the time it came along, Stefanski was already in charge of the front office. So it would have been like a role under Chauncey or under Stefanski. And I don't think Chauncey was into that. And now Larry Brown has said that he thinks that if Chauncey gets back into the game, it will instead be as a coach instead of a front office executive. So who knows what Chauncey's future brings. But, yeah, he's on TV with the Clippers and then also does a lot of ESPN stuff. So – I would like to see him get back into either coaching or front office, and I would love to see it in Detroit down the line as well.
You know what the problem is, Matt? A lot of these guys are – and I've never met Chauncey or anything, but they're afraid to fail. Like Joe D, that Darko pick haunts him. You know what I mean? Every time you bring it up, people forget about finals MVP. But, oh, he drafted Darko, and it's like I don't think these guys want to have a stain on their resume like that. And I don't know him personally, but it's like, hey, I got this nice career. Let me just ride off into the sunset.
Yeah. And you mentioned that about Joe Dumars kind of having the black mark. And it was just unbelievable to think about because you and I know that much more good than bad for Joe Dumars as an executive of the Pistons. Wins a freaking championship with the team, six straight Eastern Conference Finals, the architect of that group, and finds the right type of guys that would, you know, fit in with the fan base and spark up what they sparked up here in the middle of the 2000s. But I know you're an advocate of it. I'm an advocate of it. But let's get Joe Dumars back here every once in a while. Let's celebrate what he was and is to this franchise. And I'll say it. We're moving him on to the finals. Joe Dumars
definitely
is going to the finals. You know, salute to Chauncey Billups for getting to the Final Four. But Joe Dumars, and he'll be a contender to win next week in the finals as well, but he is a finalist for most influential Piston of all time. Hey, sorry to interrupt you guys, but let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone, one of the ultimate life hacks. During the quarantine, it's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more, but when you don't have the free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There is an incredible app out there that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It is called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful business leaders out there, they're well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for people like you who want to be like people like them. You want to get the main points of those books quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, during your lunch break, while you exercise, while you walk around Comerica Park with me every day, trying to get through the quarantine, whatever your exercise is. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library from self-help businesses, health, history books, all that stuff. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles that you've had on your list in the back of your mind forever, but you've never had time to dive in. I like Blinkist because it's quick. In less than 15 minutes, I can fast-tracked my path to be a better Matt Shook, which I know is hard to believe it can happen, but it can, and it will, and it is. And it gives me all the key takeaways from a book in 15 minutes so I can incorporate those things day in and day out. All sorts of great books. Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict. I know you guys are itching to get back on the golf course this summer, so get Tiger Woods in your ear bowls as well. The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. I've listened to a lot of his podcasts. If you're familiar with Tim, you know he's all about the efficiency, and he's got his bestseller book, The 5-Hour Workweek, that you can just knock out real quick with Blinkist. So it's a great deal for you. It's a no-brainer, really. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. That's Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T.com/NBA.
But the next guy, Isaiah Thomas, mm-hmm. going against Ben Wallace.
Isaiah Thomas, and you know, it's interesting because Isaiah's having a month right now, right? Because the Last Dance is going on, and everyone's talking about Isaiah. With first of all, interesting that they did not at all talk about the 1985 All-Star Game, right? Because that was kind of the beginning of the Michael versus Isaiah kind of firestorm, and of course it leads into the walk-off in 1991, yeah. And then turns into the Dream Team in 1992. But you know, everyone's got an opinion on Isaiah Thomas right now, and it's like the Defenders and of course mostly Pistons fans are talking him up, and then there's a lot of people that want to tear him down out there as well. So Isaiah, it's kind of topical to be talking about Zeke right now here in the finals, going up against, of course, a beloved Piston in Ben Wallace, too.
Yeah, I think there was an article in the paper about the All-Star game where it all, you know, was rumored to start the blackball game where people blocked out Jordan. And mm-hmm. to be honest, Isaiah has handled himself with so much class these last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. In the documentary, no foul language, no name-calling. He, mm-hmm. I thought he had a great comeback to say, hey, the Celtics walked off on us. And he had brought that up before. Mm-hmm. And he also prefaced it with a great prepositional phrase to say, hey, at that time, the rivalries were serious. We didn't like you. We didn't like, you know, he mm-hmm. he admitted that, you know, it's different now. You know what I mean? But at that time, it was a very serious thing. We didn't play. We didn't talk to the other team. We didn't call them on their cell phones or anything like that. So I hated to hear Horace Grant calling names. And I'm like, man, you're 50. What are you doing talking about be from your 20s, man? You should just laugh it off and be like, hey, it was a great time. Mm-hmm. Can I be devil's advocate for Ben Wallace?
Sure, absolutely.
How many individual wars does this guy have, man? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Now it's true to mention, like, hey, the only one that matters is the championship. 4-time defensive player of the year mm-hmm. speaks volumes, man. I mean, I always say this. Ben Wallace has 4 and Andre Drummond has none. And mm-hmm. Andre Drummond probably has more talent, like mm-hmm. than Ben Wallace. You know what I mean? Like literally more God-given talent, but that just shows you how much he put into his craft. And again, the fan influence, the wigs, we don't really have anything to get excited about going to the games. Like, we don't have a beard like James Harden or anything. Like, even now, like, nobody is at the game wearing Blake Griffin beards. Back when the Tigers had Gary Sheffield, we could go to the games wearing our chef hat, or mm-hmm. people had 3 crowns on their head. This guy was not only, like, a mascot for the team because it gave people a chance to wear wigs and actually have fun at the game, but he put in so much effort. I mean, Defensive Player of the Year is a effort thing. Mm-hmm. Blocks leader, rebounds leader, all those things that go with them. And then more importantly, the shutdown for all those big guys that we ran through in the East. Most notably Shaq. He has the memorable moment on him. And just looking at his Wikipedia page, he admits, he's like, hey, I'm they overcharted me on my height. I'm really like 6'7". Mm-hmm. So to think that you have all the centers in the NBA and all the anybody that plays power forward and up fearing this guy. And he's mm-hmm. like, really, I'm the same size as like most 2 and 3.
mm-hmm. Well, and you think about the guys, like you said, you went through, you got Kenyon Martin in those series with New Jersey. You got Jermaine O'Neal and those Indiana teams. So, and then you go down the list, you have to take on Tim Duncan in the NBA finals. You take on Shaq as well. So yeah, it's almost like taking care of that paint was even more important back then. And like you said, the block shots where he's kind of the last line of defense as well. You know, Isaiah and Ben Wallace, we're talking about the two guys who were there first, right, of their respective eras that the team kind of built around in time. Ben Wallace comes over in the Grant Hill trade, and he was the first member of that team, unless I'm mistaken and forgetting someone, that stayed on and was there through 04 when they win the championship.
The Isaiah most Tom, notable.
Yeah, the most notable. Maybe there is a maybe Corliss was.
I was going to say Corliss. I was going to Google him right now.
Yeah, like, possibly. But then Isaiah, you know, drafted and has, you know, back then you got to go several years before you pay your dues. Even Jordan paid his dues for many years before he won titles. And of course, Isaiah, a couple of lean years there, has the shootout with Bernard King in the playoffs, has the Atlanta series, which he had what I called last week is his best shot as a Piston to knock out, or not knock out, but to win game four against Atlanta, where they would eventually win game five and win that series. And then the Celtics battles, obviously, into the Lakers. And really his most notable, one of his most notable performances is, again, just like the Bernard King game where they lost, it was a loss in game six in 1988 to the Lakers. And they went on to lose game seven as well, losing in seven to Magic before getting the sweep the following year. All that to say is that both of these guys were there first in their respective eras, which eventually led to the two great eras of Pistons basketball. But Ben Wallace was the leader of that team in that he was the defensive leader of that team, and Isaiah was the leader of that team in that he was the offensive leader of
exactly.
that team. And what are we? We're the Pistons, right? We're supposed to value defense over offense. So maybe there's an argument to be made that because Ben Wallace is the type of player that he is, that more embodies the spirit of the Detroit Pistons organization. And for that reason, the soul of the Detroit Pistons and all that, that maybe he should be considered for winning this matchup.
But really, again, it was an uphill battle. Isaiah Thomas, he had his own candy bar in Detroit for a while.
That's true. That's
he had his own
point.
Candy bar. Did he have the song Dribble That Ball or something like
that?
I
don't remember that.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like how much he's misunderstood as you watch nationally, as you hear the feedback from this Last Dance, where it's like everybody from Detroit is like, hey, this guy's awesome. Hey, and everybody from Detroit, everybody that's not from here is like, man, he must be some type of prick if Michael Jordan. So really misunderstood, really polarizing. Just if I'm looking through my dictionary right now and I looked up Detroit Piston and it's Isaiah Thomas's picture. So there's no way that he doesn't make it to the finals.
And if I can just rip on my network a little bit here, I was listening to Hollinger and Duncan, which is a great podcast, and I listen to it every week. But I think it was this week's episode, maybe it was last week, where they talked about underrated players throughout the course of history. And they brought up Kevin Johnson of the Phoenix Suns, which, you know, I agree with, had kind of a great start to his career and then got some injuries and was so small that sometimes you get the injuries, they're hard to overcome. When you're a little guy, you lose some of the explosion. But Nate and John kind of agreed that, you know, there was a four-year stretch there from 88 to 92, kind of the beginning of Kevin Johnson's career, compared to Isaiah Thomas. And they said that Kevin Johnson was by far the second-best point guard in the NBA behind Magic Johnson. And they were just tossing out some numbers like, well, you know, Kevin Johnson's true shooting percentage was like 60%. And Isaiah's was like 54%. So how could you possibly think that Isaiah Thomas was better than Kevin Johnson? And I'm just like literally like taking a break from work, walking around Comerica Park during a break here, just like laughing
swag.
To myself. Yeah, no big deal. But like unbelievable, right? I mean, back me up, Joe. I mean,
no,
to say that Kevin Johnson, I mean, it was as a Pistons fan, I was like, this is a perfect way.
No. That, I mean, and I'm not talking as a fandom. I'm just going to say, like, a guy that used to be over the Raiders, just win, baby, win. And that's what Isaiah did. I mean, sometimes these advanced statistics really, really bother me. And that's what I talked about on my last show. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no universe where you would say that and look at that Pistons team and remove Isaiah from that. That Pistons team doesn't win any titles.
Right.
And maybe put him in Kevin Johnson's position, and maybe Phoenix goes a lot further because he can bring that attitude in it. Just being a real leader, influencing people. I mean, those are things that don't go on the stat sheet. Those are things that really don't go on the stat sheet. And Isaiah embodied all of it. If you like Allen Iverson, I mean, you will want to be in a relationship with Isaiah Thomas. That's for sure.
Well, and Dame Lillard tweeted about him this week. I mean, it's like his favorite, you know, guy from the past that he kind of emulates. All those 6'1" and under guys or whatever the cutoff is. And Iverson is, of course, in that group. Rashad Phillips is a guy from who went to Ferndale High School.
University of Detroit.
Yeah, UAD, one of my heroes kind of growing up. Is a guy who's in that category too.
Let me say this too. Look up Isaiah Thomas highlights. He'll give you a dunk. I love my favorite Isaiah Thomas highlight. Probably has nothing to do with a game, but I know you've seen it, Matt. I mean, it does have to do with the game, but not like scoring or passing. It's something. The game is intense. There's a loose ball, and Isaiah goes for the ball, and he ties up with a center, and he goes to a jump ball, and Isaiah wins the tip. Like he's so serious and so focused when the ref says jump ball, and you can see him getting ready, and he actually wins the tip. I mean, you can easily find it, like just Google Isaiah wins tip ball. And I think that is a true highlight right there. Like, he's 6'1", and he comes in with the confidence, like, no, I'm going to win this tip. And he gets so high off the ground. I mean, I don't think Kevin Johnson is doing that for you. But what that does is when other players on this team see this guy, that's our star player, doesn't care about injury, and not only does he get the ball and get in his jump ball situation, but now he goes and wins the tip. That's phenomenal. I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about it. That's old school basketball at its finest, and you just don't get that today.
And if I could refute a little bit of the new school argument with the true shooting percentage, and if you want to dig into numbers of Kevin Johnson versus Isaiah Thomas, and I promise that we don't want to prolong this argument.
We love you, Kevin.
That we both agree on. Yeah, Kevin Johnson doing a great job as was the mayor of Sacramento as well. Kept the team.
Yeah,
in Sacramento. But
they talked about it on the Last Dance when triple overtime, and they didn't mention. They talked a lot about Barkley, but I remember Kevin Johnson played every second of that game.
But my point is that back then, the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference were like two completely different animals. That Phoenix was like the Western Conference on steroids, and the Pistons were the Eastern Conference on steroids, and that the Pistons during the seasons where they had the best teams, you know, the back-to-back championships, they were like in the 20s for offensive numbers, whether you're talking about points per game, efficiency, whatever it is. They were like one of the lower third teams, but they were so good defensively that that didn't matter. That was the style of play that they played. And of course, when you're playing against the Pistons, you know that's what you're going to get. You're going to play the best defense you could possibly get. Whereas Kevin Johnson, you're flying up and down the court, scoring 105, 115 points, which was a big number back then. It's easier to score because you're scoring a lot. You're giving up a lot. It's just the free-flowing game that we see now where efficiency numbers are up across the board. That's kind of what that era difference was. So I think that you kind of bake in about a 5% difference. And if all we're talking about is true shooting percentage, I think you kind of bake in about a difference of that when you're talking about the Pistons.
You got to bake that in. And the fact that they didn't really care about stats back then.
Right.
The players, they weren't conscious of it because it didn't impact their contract. But also, Matt, think about this. Like you said, with everybody shooting threes today, long shots equal long rebounds, which equal fast breaks.
Right.
So, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too deep into the woods and people are listening like, who does this guy think he is? He's the wrestling guy. So.
But, and also Isaiah, like you said, kind of the intangible part of it where this was a locker room of the bad boys that needed that anchor, right? There needed to be the number one alpha dog. And, you know, Bill Laimbeer played his part as kind of the henchman for him, who was the other alpha dog, but clearly this was Isaiah's team. And you know, to have Dennis Rodman fall in line, to have, Rick Mahorn fall in line, to eventually get Adrian Dantley traded and bring in a guy like Mark Aguirre who's willing to fall in line, to have John Sally move on the upward trajectory that his career went in, to have Bill Laimbeer not fall off the rails at any point. Of course, Joe Dumars is an easy enough guy to be a teammate with, probably the best teammate you could possibly imagine. But for Isaiah to steer that ship alongside Chuck Daly was an important quality that he had for his career as well.
Yeah. I mean, I love – and hey, just to put the cap on – oh, it's your show, man. But go to the games today. Isaiah Thomas, probably first jersey. If you counted the number of jerseys in the building, his jersey is always number one, followed not too far behind by Grant Hill. And that speaks volumes, you know, considering that was over 30 years ago.
Greatest Piston of all time, Isaiah Thomas.
Thank you for having me on, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Brown, the doc, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And thanks for chopping this up with us. And we will talk more Pistons down the line. And check out the podcast, everyone. Thanks again to our guy, Doc Joe Brown, who comes through when we throw up the bat signal for him. And we've got one more episode of the most influential Pistons of all time bracket and some exciting interviews next week as well that I'm excited to share with you guys. Also talking draft on Monday's show too. Remember to go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Appreciate you guys helping us out there. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. That will do it for us this week. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.